Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Well, welcome to Faith and Victory Church First Service. Amen. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good. Amen. So this morning I'm gonna give you a brief biblical lesson on peace. Just brief. The Hebrew word shalom is the word for peace in the Bible. It's shalom, and you've probably heard that before, right? Shalom, shalom, right? So this is the Hebrew word, and the root meaning of the word shalom means to be safe. So it comes from this word that means to be safe, and it includes your welfare, health, prosperity, peace, rest, and safety. This word is far more than conflict, a place without conflict. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It means far more than the absence of war or conflict. Its basic meaning is the positive presence of harmony, wholeness, soundness, well-being, and success in every area of your life. The shalom encompasses all of that. Shalom describes the original created world that existed in perfect harmony and wholeness. So when God made the world and made Adam and Eve, it was in perfect peace. Shalom. Shalom. Perfect peace. For the first time, Adam and Eve experienced... Oh, I'm sorry. When Adam and Eve listened to the voice of the serpent and ate the forbidden fruit, right, in the beginning, in Genesis, if you remember, the serpent tempted Eve, and she then said, eat of this fruit, to her husband. And so they ate of the forbidden fruit that God told them not to eat of, and they introduced sin into the world. And so when they introduced sin into the world, their disobedience introduced sin, and it disrupted the original harmony that God created for earth, that he had always intended for earth. For the first time, Adam and Eve experienced guilt and shame before God and a loss of inner peace. Sin disrupted the harmony and unity, not only between humans, but between races in a marriage. It disrupted the harmony between us and creation itself. The animals included this. God plans to restore shalom. And the story of regaining peace is the story of redemption in Christ. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Shalom. Prince of Shalom. Satan initiated the destruction of peace in the world. Therefore, the reestablishment of peace must involve the destruction of Satan and his power.
Amen.
Okay? David prophesied that the Son would rule the nations. This is Psalm 2, 8 and 9. If you're taking notes, you can take these notes. I'm just going to go through these real quick. Isaiah prophesied the Messiah would reign as the Prince of Peace. That's Isaiah 9:6. Ezekiel prophesied that the new covenant God planned to establish was a covenant of peace. Ezekiel 34:25. Micah prophesied that the Messiah would be the peace.
Amen.
Micah 5:5. At Jesus' birth, peace came to earth. Luke 2:14. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Jesus broke down all barriers of conflict in Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. Our legacy is a legacy of peace.
Amen.
John 14, 27. By his death and resurrection, he disarmed hostile powers and authority, Colossians 1:20. And this isn't up there, but in Revelation, he's going to restore the fullness of peace between us and creation, a new heaven and new earth. And he restores the fullness of that shalom. Yes. And we have not yet seen that restoring of all peace. So in all of this, why do we still not have peace? Does anybody here need more peace in your life? Yes. Does anybody here walking in perfect peace? No? No one? If Jesus did all this, why do we not walk in perfect peace? Why do we not have his peace? Merely knowing that Christ came as the Prince of Peace does not ensure that peace will automatically become a part of our lives. When I was at the gym the other day, I run on a treadmill and it looks down into a pool. And it happened to be a sunny day. And how many of y'all know when water is still, it looks like glass? And you can see your reflection in a pool, right, of glass. There was nobody in the pool and it was perfect. And there's some big windows and it was casting a shadow onto the pool. And it was this, it looked like a beam that you could actually walk across. And as I'm running, the Lord said, Crystal, watch the pool. Because right now it's in perfect peace. And you can see your path clearly. You can walk across that clearly. And so I began watching it. And see, the Lord knows all things. And so a person got in the pool. And I saw this little ripple come, right? And my path got moved just a little bit. And I could see, but then another person came in the pool. And another person came in the pool. And another person came in the pool, began splashing around and moving around. And the Lord said, can you even see your path anymore? And I said, no, I can't. I couldn't see my path at all. And the Lord said, these are things that we allow to come into our pool and steal our peace. That's why it's called peace, like a pool. Peace like a pool. We lose our path when we allow things to come into our pool of peace. Because we can live in perfect peace. He gave us everything that we need. But look at this. This is the word for you today. Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Amen.
There's where it's lacking. Is that we don't seek peace and we don't pursue it. If you want peace, it doesn't just come naturally, folks. We've got to seek it and pursue it if we want peace in our lives. Because he supplied it all. It's all there. But we allow these things into our water, right? We allow these things into our pool. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, so peace is not going to come easily to you. Satan's out to steal your peace. So the Lord gave me some water disruptors. The first one is unity. Are you united with Christ in an active faith? Are you united with his ways? Are you united with his thoughts? Are you united with Christ's will in your life?
Yes.
Or do you embrace the world? Do you embrace the ways of the world? Do you embrace the ways, its attitudes, its values?
Yes.
We must seek to be united with Christ. You have to seek peace and pursue it. Pursue it. If you want peace in your life, you're going to have to do a little bit of work.
Yes.
Matthew 10:34-39 says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. What? What? He says, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own house. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. These are Jesus' words. So Jesus says, you want peace? Well, the peace that I give is not the way the world gives. See, we think of peace and we think of the Coca-Cola commercials and everybody holding hands. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. That's not the peace that Christ gives. The peace that Jesus provides is not world peace. And it's not even a peace in our circumstances. It's a peace between us and God, that we're in a right relationship with Him. It's peace of mind. It's soundness. It's safety. How many of you all want to feel safe every day of your life? Safety, right? It's safety. It's a peace of mind that says, it's going to be okay. I am safe in His arms. He will provide. He makes a way out. No matter what I have to go through, there's glory on the other side. Amen. This is the peace that He provides. There's a big fallacy that God's peace is an absence of any conflict. This is not His conflict. Look at John. I mean, this is not His peace. John 16:33, He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So He tells us that in the world we're going to have conflicts and tribulation. But you know, you can have peace in the midst of conflict.
That's right.
I've been at the bedside of a man that lost his only son and he still had peace. That's some peace right there. If you are not united with Christ, you are God's enemy.
That's right.
Can I just tell you something? There is no peace in being an enemy of God. There's no peace in that. Who wants to be God's enemy? Right? Not a one. I don't know anybody that wants to be God's enemy. Look at James 4:4-10. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's why I say you have to be united with Christ, united with His ways, united with His values, united with Him. Otherwise, you're united with the world and we're an enemy of God. Those are some strong words. But what do you want? What's it going to take for you to experience peace? What are you willing to do to experience peace in your life? Because you have to seek peace and pursue it. And it goes on, and He just says, if you humble yourself and repent, go on to the next one. He gives more grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So He just says, if you would just repent and humble yourself before Me, you can have My peace. Because He longs to show us grace. He longs to show us peace. He longs to show us favor. He longs to bless us.
Yes.
Amen? Now, the second thing that disrupts our water is obedience. Look at Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57:21. Says, there's no peace, says My God, to the wicked. Now, if you go up a little bit further in verse 15, He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. So He says, I dwell with him that is repentant. I dwell with him that is contrite, is humble before Me. Right? Are we obeying God's word? There is no peace in disobedience.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, I know firsthand. There's no peace in disobedience. If you're living in disobedience to God and His word, you will not have peace outwardly or inwardly. Because outwardly, you leave yourself open to the attacks of the devil.
Right.
You leave a door wide open and Satan just comes right in. He's going to wreak havoc on your life. And then inwardly, there's that battle of the flesh and the spirit. Because the spirit says, just obey God. Just obey. He wants you to obey. And so there's a battle on the inside. There's no peace in that. There's no peace in a battle. There's no peace. You have to seek peace and pursue it. Yes. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord if you're not going to do what I tell you to do?" Ouch, right? Ouch. And maybe your disobedience is just in being a Jonah. Maybe God's told you to do something or go somewhere and you just haven't done it. Maybe that's your disobedience. How many of y'all know there's no peace in the belly's well? It's cold, it's wet, it's dark. It's probably stinky. Yeah, right? There's no peace. There's no peace in disobedience. Are you willing to do whatever He asks in order to experience peace? What are you willing to do in your life to experience peace? Number three, shame. Now, on the other hand, right, Romans 8:1 says, "There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk after the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit." So if you've been born again and you're in Christ, and Satan continues to bring your past against you, this is going to disrupt your peace. If you believe the lies. Because God comes rushing in. He says, "You're a new creation. I have made you new. I have made you whole. I have made you righteous in my sight. And you are washed whiter than snow. And I've cast your sins as far as the east is from the west." But if you don't let that shame go, it's going to disrupt your peace. You got to let your past go. Listen, you will never fulfill the purposes of God in your life if you don't let your past go. Paul knew this. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, murdered Christians. And then he comes to a place where he says, "I have a clear conscience before all men." He knew the power of forgiveness. He knew the power of being washed whiter than snow. See, if God has forgiven me, who am I not to forgive myself?
That's right.
If He has forgiven you, who are you not to forgive yourself? What good is it carrying around that shame? You're not going to be in peace. There is no peace in that. It will rob you of your peace unless you let it go. Don't live in your past. Look at Philippians 3:13-15. Paul said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended." So he says, "I'm not there yet, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. So he said, every day, it doesn't matter what you did, you know, forget it and move on. Right. Forget it and move on. Because shame will drag you down.
That's right.
Talk about no peace in your pool. It's like a brick tied to you. It's going to pull you down. Then you really can't see your path because you're going to be on the bottom of the pool. Not even trying to stay afloat. Number four. Want. James 4:1-3. "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." Yikes. Want. Want for recognition. I'm not even talking about a want for money. Want for recognition. Want for honor. Want for power. Want for pleasure. Want for money. Want for superiority. Any selfish desire that becomes more important than God's will creates war and conflict and steals our peace.
That's right.
Want. Seek peace, right? Seek peace and pursue it. You have to be content with whatever season you may be in. You have to learn to be content with where you're at in that season. Paul said, "I know how to, I've been, you know, I lived without and I've lived with. Learn how to be content with where God has you. I love Psalm 23:1, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This want means both. I will not lack anything necessary for God's will to accomplish in my life. So when he says, I shall not want, it means I'm not going to lack anything that God has to do in me for my life, right? For the purpose of my life. But the second part of that is to not want means I will be content in the good shepherd's provision and care of my life. Even in times of hardship, because I trust in his love and his commitment to me. I shall not want. What if your want, what if you say, well, my want is food and housing, right? You say, well, that's great, but I need food. And I ask you, where are you at with God? Are you obeying him in every area of your life? King David said, I have been young and I have been old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. So God takes care of his own. So if we're not doing what God asks us to do in our tithing, specifically I'm talking about. Yes, I'm talking about tithing. When we're not doing with those things, what are we doing with our money? Where are we spending our money? Where are we doing these things? Because God says, I shall not want anything necessary for my life. That doesn't mean I'm not going to... He meets all our needs. This isn't, he's going to give you everything you want. It's, if you trust him, he's going to take care of you. He always does. He's a good God. He always does. Always. What are you going to do to have peace in your life? What are you going to do? It's there. It's there. You have to seek peace and pursue it. Number 5 is focus. Where is your focus? Isaiah 26:3, he says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So he says, he says, Crystal, I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on me. That's what he's saying to you. He says, I will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on me. Do you control your thoughts? See, to experience this perfect peace, you have got to control your thought life. You have to control your thought life. Because you know what? It is just as easy to think about and ruminate on anxiety and worry and all this other stuff as it is to think about and meditate on the Word of God. That's why I say it's up to you. God's not going to make you control your thoughts. He's not going to make you read your Word. He's not going to make you do that. He's given it for you. He's given you the Word. He's given you His Holy Spirit. But He's not going to make you do it. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to say what it says about you. Right? If you got anxieties, cast them on God and get in the Word. What does it say? Right? Because it's just as easy to worry as it is to pray. Right? What good is it to worry? Do you like worrying? I don't like worrying. Personally, I don't like worrying. Philippians 4:6-8 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, right? Which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. He doesn't say meditate on your worries. Don't get caught up on this word meditate, okay? Meditate is just ruminating on the Word of God. It's putting the Word of God in you. It's more than just, well, I read that. That's good. Come on, how are you going to get the Word of God in you if you just like, you know, you look at it once in a while, and, oh, that's good. You got to meditate on it. You got to get that Word inside you because His Word is life. Get those words inside you. So then when those worries and anxieties come, you can say, wait a minute, that's not of God. I'm gonna fill my thoughts with God's Word. I'm going to think about how good God is. I'm going to think about how trustworthy God is. I'm going to think about how faithful God is. And I'm going to remind myself of the last time He supplied all my needs.
Amen.
I'm going to remind myself of the last time He met all my needs.
Amen.
And then His peace will come rushing in. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will flood your heart and your mind. It is a constant battle to control your thoughts. Let me just tell you this. It is constant battle to control your thoughts.
Yes.
That's why you got to be in the Word all the time. You got to be in, you know what? It's a lifestyle. Praying and reading your Word is a lifestyle. It's not just what you do, get up in the morning and I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Word, like it becomes habit. It has to be a life where your life becomes a prayer. Where you're walking through your day just praying and singing hymns to God.
Amen.
Then you'll have peace. I promise you, man. If you start praising God in the midst of your circumstances, man, there's peace in that.
Yes.
You will feel it.
Yes.
You're like, whoa. You will feel it. Literally, you will feel that peace come and flood your heart. Number 6, attention. What words and people are you giving heed to? What words and people are you giving heed to? What are you paying attention to? Because words are powerful, right? None of this sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words hurt.
That's right.
And they will stay with you your whole life if you let them. Anybody ever been told they were stupid as a kid? Yeah, it sticks with you your life. Right? Come on, somebody. I'm not the only one standing up here that had words, bad words spoken against them as a kid. You're dumb. You're stupid. You're this. You're that. You're ugly. You're fat. You're blah, blah, blah. You're blah, 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 blah. Right? You feel like Charlie Brown and the teacher. Wah, 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 wah. But what are you giving your attention to? What words are you giving your attention to? Okay? Look at Numbers 13, 32 through 33. Now this is the Israelites that were sent to spy the promised land. So 12 Israelites were sent in to spy the promised land that God had given them, mind you. They were already told beforehand that God had given them the land. So before they even went to spy it out, they were told, God has given you this land.
Amen.
Okay? So these children of Israel, they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out. So these 12 men came back saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So if you know the story, 10 of the 12 gave a bad report of the land that need I say it again, that God had given them.
Yes.
And Joshua and Caleb were the only two words of life that said, we can do this. God gave us this land. Let's go forth. What are we waiting for? But see, somebody, because it always starts with one. It always starts with one. Somebody said something negative, and all of a sudden, 9 others are following them. And then he said, look at what it says. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. So they didn't see what God could do. They didn't believe God. Right? Obviously, they didn't believe God. They didn't see themselves as God saw them. They listened to what others said about them. And so they said, we were grasshoppers in our own sight. God get rid of negative words and do not hang around negative, divisive people.
That's right.
Because they will influence you.
Yeah. Say that again.
Folks, seek peace and pursue it. What are you willing to do to have peace in your life? Is peace worth losing a few divisive friendships over? Because I think so. I want a sound mind. I want to walk in His perfect peace. And so if there's people that are being negative and divisive and they're speaking evil things, I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to not hang around you anymore. But are you willing to do that to have peace in your life? Because if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to have peace. Because you're going to continue to have those words that are going to cause conflict in your soul. They're going to bring war in your soul. Romans 16:17, he says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have heard, and avoid them." He's talking about things divisive to the gospel. Well, I think negative things spoken about other people are divisive to the gospel.
That's true.
So he says, avoid them. He didn't say don't love them. He didn't say don't be kind to them. He just said, just don't hang out with them. You don't have to fellowship with them. You don't have to give heed to what they're saying. You need to surround yourself with encouragers. Surround yourself with people who speak God's word over your life. Surround yourself with people who say, you can overcome this mountain and I'm going to go with you. Surround yourself with those people that speak life. That are going to speak life over your life. Number 7 is dwelling. Where do you dwell? Where do you dwell? Psalm 91, and I love this psalm. Psalm 91, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me," I say me, "from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I will trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me, because I dwell in His presence." And this is why I say it has to be an everyday thing. You can't just come to church 1 hour on a Sunday morning and expect to experience peace in your life. It's a good start. But you got to dwell in His presence. You have to dwell in His presence every day. You have to dwell. In my experience, most people don't want to do what it takes. They don't. When I got saved, I came out of drugs and alcohol, right? And a lot of y'all know my story. I started doing drugs when I was 9, and it just escalated from there. I came out of that background. And people ask me all the time, well, how did you get clean? Did you go through a 12-step program? And I said, no, I dwelled in His presence. And I'm not saying those programs aren't good, folks. Please hear me in that. What am I not saying? I'm not saying those aren't good and those don't work. What I'm saying is that I knew that if I was going to be made whole, that I was going to experience peace, I had to leave everything and dwell in His presence. And so I was at church every time the doors were opened. I got rid of every single friend that lived that life. I did. I didn't watch TV. I didn't listen to music. I spent probably 3 or 4 hours a day in God's Word and in prayer. And this is what I say. Listen, don't look at me as if it was the Spirit of God inside me. But I knew that if I was going to experience peace, because I had no peace in my life, I had to dwell in His presence. And I did that for 3 years. And even now, I get up every morning, and listen, I am not lifting myself up. Please hear me in this, okay? But every morning, I seek His face. I'm in His Word. I'm in prayer. Every single morning, ask my husband. He gets up, I'm reading my Word. I'm praying. Because I have got to maintain that peace in my life. And I don't want to get off track. I don't want to get out there. I want to see my path clearly. Every single day, you have to dwell in His presence. That's where peace is. It's in His presence. We get outside of His presence and we lose our peace. That's why I say, what are you willing to do to experience peace in your life? Are you willing to be obedient? Are you willing to go where He asks you to go? Are you willing to cast out thoughts and replace them with God's Word? Are you willing to dwell in His presence? Right? We have to seek peace and pursue it. Amen? If you want peace and safety, you have to dwell in His presence. Anything outside of His presence leads to torment and misery. And you can be saved and still live in misery, folks. It's true. You can be saved and live in torment. But do you want peace? Do you want that shalom? Right? Soundness of mind. Right? Safety. Safety. In every era of our life, safety. Isn't that a beautiful word? Safe in His arms from physical harm, from emotional harm, from mental harm, right? Safe. And it doesn't matter what's going outside around me. It's safe. I'm safe in His arms. It doesn't matter what my circumstances look like. I'm safe in His presence. It doesn't matter what I have to go through. I'm safe. And there's glory on the other side. Amen. What are you letting in your pool? What are you letting in your pool? Will you just close your eyes? And I want you to think about that for a minute. And just ask the Holy Spirit right now, Lord, what am I letting in that's stealing my peace? What things am I letting in, God, that is stealing my peace? And He'll show you. Ask Him, He'll show you. Hallelujah. And maybe you're here and you've never even experienced Christ. He's here today. The Holy Spirit is here right now and He's just waiting. And you know what? I don't believe in say this prayer. I just believe in a heart that says, God, I need You. Lord, I need You. Jesus, I need You. I need You. I need You to cover my sins. I need to be made whole. I need peace. I need restoration, God. I just need You in my life because I know I can't do it without You. And He's here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just tell Him you need Him. And right now, I know He is showing you something that He says you need to remove this out of your life, son. You need to remove this out of your life, daughter. And you'll have peace if you just do this one thing I'm asking you to do. Just do this one thing I'm asking you to do, and you're going to experience peace. Thank You, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just lift these things up unto You, God. Lord, You know all things. Lord, You know what's going on. Holy Spirit, I'm asking You today to come and heal. Come and bring peace like only You can bring, Lord. Bring Your peace. Jesus, we just lift all these things up unto You, Lord. Be with us, Lord. Let us dwell in Your presence, God. that nothing else matters, Lord. Let us cast aside all our cares. Let us cast aside all our worries and just focus on you, God. Focus on you and just let everything else fall where it's going to fall, God. And stay on your path for us, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We lift these things up unto you today, Lord. In Jesus' name.